who you guys are. So let me just set the scene just very quickly. John and Mary Elliott were here on staff in this church, 1981, I believe. Put your hand up if you were in this church in 1981. Four righteous people were counted amongst the gathered. Yes, and then from about 1985, I believe, you were sent out as missions partners from this church 38 years ago.
Right.
And then you were partners with us until the beginning of this year. It's a very long time.
It was a long time. Earlier this year, we went to a funeral in Rotorua of Martin Norrie, that many of you may know. Martin and Marg were in this church. They're part of the council, and along with a few others. And honestly, it was a reunion afterwards, after the funeral. There were so many life pointers, ex-life pointers, that came up. And we recognized some faces, but couldn't always recall the names. I don't know if you have that problem. But it was just great catching up with people. And I think we were the last to leave. The pastor was trying to close the church, and we were all trying to say, so long, we haven't caught up with you for ages. So life pointers are scattered around the world, and it's a great place to be sent out from, whether in missions or in business or whatever.
Yeah, no, that's true. There's been hundreds have come through and been sent on to do other things. But can you just take us back to the 1980s so that we can be refreshed in our memory? So I'm on staff here at LifePoint Church, and you were on staff, and then God was speaking to you, and then you left. So can you talk us through that process a little bit? What was happening?
We initially had been sent out from Queen Street Assembly of God, as it was known back in those days, and we were part of a team of, I think there was about 20 of us being trained over a few years. And then 12 went out to the Philippines and set up a ministry called Philippine Aid Ministries. And I was on that team, well, Mary and I were on that team, and two of our young children. So we did 4 years with Philippine Aid in the Philippines, and then a short stint in Indonesia for 7 months. Completed our 4 years, left all our personal effects in Asia, believing Singapore was the next stop. And then we're told to come back to New Zealand, lie on a beach, and God will talk to you about where to go. And we did, and he did, in a roundabout way. I got a phone call from a chap called John Watson, and asking if I'd come down and speak at a missions conference. And that changed our lives. We came, had a great time, went back, another phone call a few weeks later, would you like to come and join our church? And so that's how we came to our goods. We had to obviously bring them back from Asia, not to Singapore. We settled here for 4 years. And actually, the 4 years we had in Wellington and with this church, I still talk about it when I travel and do things around the world. It just did so much in our hearts and lives, that what the church was going through, the challenges it faced. And we started at the Basin Reserve in Wellington College. Then we moved to Life Point, and I saw my office had burnt down recently, which was in Adelaide Road, sorry. And then we weren't here, though, when you moved to Hooper Street. But, yeah, the church sent us out, and we're so grateful.
Wonderful. Were there any obstacles that you had to overcome in the going to be involved in mission?
You'd have to go back to when we first felt called to missions, and that was just a response in our heart to just want to serve the Lord whichever way he called us. And we had responded to that, the need that was in the Philippines at the time. And then when we came down here, I remember thinking, you know, the Lord clearly directed us to come to here, and we thought maybe God's changed his mind. We aren't called to missions, but more to pastoring in the church, and maybe we had mission experience to pass on in the church, vision for missions. And I think it was good that we thought it was a permanent position at the time, because we really settled in here, we made good friendships and really felt part of the church here. But then we just, John was in the Philippines. He had been responsible for pastors' seminars around Asia, and when we came into the church here, he carried on with that, and many of the people in the church got involved, and we'd go back to Asia for short visits and conduct these seminars of teaching for pastors in rural areas. And we carried on with that for a while, and then we began to have people contact us or contact John and ask him, would he consider pastoring some, you know, like different places in New Zealand? And we thought, God's just sort of rocking the boat a little bit. And what are we? Are we meant to be pastoring, or are we to be involved in missions? And then,
by that time, we had our third child, David, who was born here. He's our only Wellington baby. He's 42 now. And as we look back, as we've seen the leading of God, and you know, God speaking to you, God leading you, it's all very subjective, in the sense each of us sense God's voice and presence in a different way. And so you can't just say this is how he speaks to you. But and so we've seen whenever we've had to move from place to place, we can look back and say we really did hear the voice of the Lord. We weren't into moving for the sake of moving. We just knew we meant to. And the one here in Wellington, we were over in Eastbourne. It's one of those perfect Wellington days. You know, the harbour's like glass. The gorse is in full bloom. And we're having a picnic over there, and we're just looking back across the harbour. And the Holy Spirit just came on us and says, it's time to move back to Asia. And so everything else just fell into place, you know, in the sense of our thinking, our praying. And so we shared with John and the leadership what we felt God was speaking to us after a few days. This church also hosted the New Zealand director for World Outreach. He and his wife, and eventually they got married here, came to this church. Val and Lorraine Dirk, of course, were very much part of the church. Lorraine being Peter Morris Church in Christchurch. So we got to forge relationships with them. And then Bill Mollenkamp, who was the director of World Outreach, based in Hong Kong, he would come down to New Zealand twice a year, speak here. We got to know Bill. And so when the Lord spoke to us in Eastbourne about it's time to go back to Asia, we just knew it was to join World Outreach. We'd sort of forged a relationship by that stage.
Beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah, if you're tired of that one.
Just
please understand
just
that
a slideshow would be fine.
These are not in any particular order, but this is the Philippines, Mary homeschooling, and which you had to do back then. That's Deborah and David. That's when we left here, and we went to Hong Kong. That's photos taken up in Chartwell.
That was a farewell that our Connect group or home group sort of had a barbecue to say goodbye to us.
And then this leads into my next question is, after we commissioned and sent you, so 38 years ago, what have you been doing?
Sort of getting a taste for Asian food. And
we first of all joined World Outreach in Hong Kong.
Yeah.
That was the head office.
So I that team that we went to the Philippines, it was a team made up of a variety of skills and ministry abilities. And one of the things we found in Asia within a very short time was a lot of pastors had no mentoring. No one was, you know, they'd come out of Bible school and go and plant a church, but no one ever visited them. No one, you know, could help them. And so when we decided as a team to, let's try and gather some of these guys together and see if we could minister into their lives and encouragement, etc. We came out of New Zealand. We thought praise and worship was a New Zealand gift to the world, because, you know, back in those days, songs of praise and all those were all over the world. They were going all over the world.
Scripture and song.
With Dave and Dale Garrett and co. And plus our own church. We were into worship big time. So we took that and other things to the Philippines, and the people just soaked it up. The leaders soaked it up. And you know, you go into an environment like the Philippines where sometimes the assurance of salvation wasn't really understood. And so even at the night, we would hire a basketball arena out, indoor one, and have let the public come along at nighttime and, you know, preach salvation, preach on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, pray for the sick, etc. And often when we did salvation, I always remember it took me, shocked me for a while, but a lot of the old pastor delegates came to the front to get their give their lives to the Lord because they weren't sure if Jesus was still with them because of some things they'd done. So that assurance of salvation was a major message that we took around the Philippines, and people caught it. They really did catch it. But those seminars were in Mindanao and the Visayan Islands, and then Indonesia. When we went there, we saw the possibilities of doing the same. And so it was out of this church that we started seminars into Indonesia, and pastors around New Zealand would come and join me. We would travel overseas. And then Bill Mollenkamp, the guy in the photo up there with me, he came by and he just sort of heard about these leadership seminars, and he said, you know, you could be doing these in so many other countries because the need is the same. People are looking for mentoring, for training, for relationships. They've got so many questions. And so we left Wellington to go to Hong Kong.
Bill Mollenkamp was also, when he came on a visit here, and he said to us, John and Linda and John and I, he was looking for someone to assist him in the work in World Outreach in Hong Kong, in the office. And he said to John, if you came, you could do so much more. And so, in the way of pastor seminars, and you could do it from Hong Kong, it would be a lot easier. And it was something that it never really stopped, you know, it just stayed in John's mind, and he started to talk to me about it. Maybe we should apply and ask Bill Mollenkamp what this job entailed, you know. So Bill sent us a big long list of things that he was looking for, and we looked at that list and thought, goodness, he's looking for Superman. And John wrote back to him and said that, you know, it was on our heart what he'd said, and but we could do some of that, but not all of that. And he said, well, I don't know how he answered, but he welcomed us anyway. And we'd been through the experience of the Philippines, living in a new culture, having young children, and then coming back to New Zealand. It was sort of like we're settling into life as normal. And so it was a big adjustment to have to move out again. And I was willing to do whatever God calls to do, but I just needed to know it was from the Lord. And at that time, there had been a Pentecostal pastors' conference, and they had asked John to organize it because of his experience in organizing conferences. And so we got to know a lot of the pastors writing in to John to register for the conference.
In Waikanae.
And then at that conference, one of the speakers called us out. And, you know, like this huge group of people, and he called out John and Mary to come for prayer at the front. And he really confirmed to us that this is what God was doing, that he had something new for us and we were to obey and move out. And that was one thing. And then he just used these words that You're not to worry, he said to me, you're not to worry about your children, that one day they will rise up and call you blessed. And I thought, oh, that's nice, you know, nice comforting word. Then we spoke in different churches, and one of them was the Miramar Baptist Church. Prior to us going out, we were sort of raising support. And at the end of the service, I remember this lady, a middle-aged lady, coming up to me, and she was really shaking. And she said, I don't normally do this sort of thing, but she said, I just felt strongly to tell you that you are not to worry about your children, that one day they will rise up and call you blessed. And so, you know, with that, had real confidence that this was God's will for us.
We feel when the core comes, the core is the whole family. You know, we involved our children as much as they understood in our decision making, and so that they kind of get buy-in. But as they got older, you know, they saw that their voice was important. And the decisions we made around them, you know, we consulted them, but obviously we had to make decisions. But the kids look back today and say, you know, they knew they were meant to be in Asia.
You know,
that's not a problem.
So it's a big thing to uproot your family when you thought you were planted here, but God called you very clearly and confirmed it and confirmed it again. So you went. Now, looking back now, what are some of the ways that you would say that God has blessed you because you gave your life to this ministry, to mission?
Yeah, I was talking to someone the other day because they lived overseas as well and put their kids in international schools. And in Hong Kong was the first time we ever really had to do that. There was a Christian association with the schools, the international school there. And so if you're a missionary, you got a third discount, which was great.
It was it was under the British, and the British policy was missionaries could apply for a discount at school. So,
but even with the leadership seminars, you had to raise funds for them, but you just knew that they were meeting a tremendous need. So if God's asking us to do it, a good missionary friend who came here actually through New Zealand called Wayne Myers, he sort of says, as God leads you into something, you know, it's the leading of the Lord, he has to pick up the tab, you know. And so you've just got to keep going forward and make your plans rather than where we're going to get the money from, you know, that his timing is right. And so we just saw when we had to pay school fees, when we had to pay rents, like, you know, which is up and down all over the place, You know what your budget is to live and survive and do whatever, but God came through. And I've often say to people starting out in missions today, you know what you can do, but be open to surprises. You're going to get lots of surprises along the way, and you can't budget on surprises. You've just got to keep going forward. And he will never let you down. You could always do with more. Missionaries always want more, but you'll always be able to pay the tabs. Yeah, he'll pick up the tab. Just, can I go back to the leadership seminars? Out of Wellington, we were doing, I think, 3 a year into Indonesia. In the Philippines, we were doing, you know, half a dozen a year. When we got to Hong Kong and joined World Outreach, within 3 years, I was doing about 12 seminars in different locations from the India subcontinent through Southeast Asia. And by the last year we were there, I think we were doing 15 or so leadership seminars, anywhere from delegations of 150 through to sometimes 12 or 1300. It was just the openness of the body of Christ wanting help. And they were great times.
Fantastic. You know. Are there some key memories or people that you've met, and you've got some photos that you can work through? Are there some kind of key things that you'd like to tell us about?
This is Bill Mollenkamp handing over the leadership of World Outreach to me. The international board was a New Zealand-based board, so that's taken up in Auckland. And Bill had saved World Outreach, I would say. Some of you, if you have been in Wellington a while, you'll know the name Don Crosby. And Don was a pastor of Wellington Assembly of God, but he was also the AOG missions director. And he was married into the Walker family, who have Tawamungu Bible School Ministries. So Don, when Len Jones passed away and Chas Bilby decided leadership of World Outreach wasn't his thing, Don took over. And then Don wanted to pursue politics, and Bill stepped up. And I would say Bill saved World Outreach. Lorraine and Val were already part of World Outreach at that time. And Bill just saw the world so many people depended on World Outreach to do their ministries. And so he served about 11 years as international director, and he traveled 9 months of the year. How he did it, I don't know. And I had no desire to try and compete with that. But he came to a place where he just says, I can't do it anymore. I can, but I feel I shouldn't. And I got a phone call, John, and this is typical working with a Dutchman up there. It was Monday morning. John, we need to talk. I've been away overseas. I've been praying for you and Mary, and you've been traveling, and it'd be good to catch up, but I just need to talk to you. And so he would catch up, and he would say, I've prayed, and these are the words God gives me, geographical relocation. And I'm thinking, okay, we just got into Hong Kong. We've only been there 2.5 years or thereabouts. And so he said, okay, let's have breakfast on Friday and make a decision. And I'm thinking, I need a bit more time. So I sent some SOS calls to a couple of friends and just said, listen, I've got to make a major decision about moving from Hong Kong, possibly back to New Zealand, but God put Singapore on our hearts. So I relayed to Bill on my trip. I'd passed through Singapore, been there a few times. A friend picked me up. We drove around waiting for my flight to get ready to take off. And as I'm driving with this guy, again, the Holy Spirit just came on me. It's time now to come to Singapore. Just that absolute witness.
Wow.
So I said that with Bill, and he kind of thought, oh, I had New Zealand in my mind. And I said, well, maybe God's got Singapore in mind. So hence our Friday breakfast, and we told him Singapore. And he said, okay, right, when are you going to move? You know, like, we moved to Singapore
wow.
in 1988. Mm. And and then the seminars just even got bigger, and we had more people. It was great.
Good. Keep going.
Yeah.
Well, I was just...
And Mary followed.
you asked before about what... we were talking about the children and the word that I'd got. And when I look back now, I say to my kids that they've always all wanted to be in ministry and different times in their lives. And I said, what was the thing that where you really felt that was the spark and getting you interested in that? And it was our time in Hong Kong for our oldest two, because they had a YWAM base there up near the school, the British school that they went to. There was the YWAM base. And there was someone in YWAM who was a young Australian girl who was, her gifting was teaching young kids in sort of
drama
and dance. And they had this thing called Kids Club. And so our kids went along to that. And she would train them in like a group of them, and they would all dress the same, and they would sing different Christian songs to actions, and then when they got good at it, they'd go around to the different shopping centres and perform in front of the shopping centres, and there was one particular song at the end where the kids could come down off the stage and go and shake hands with the people in the shopping centre. And a lot of them were elderly people, and they would just love watching their children there. And the kids would go down and shake their hands, and these ladies and men would cry, just tears rolling down their faces, and they just knew that they were ministering to people, and it just sparked that desire to do that for people. And so, you know, God was gracious in not only a strategic place for us, but they, the children also learnt what ministry was all about.
Can I also go back to the leadership seminars? And our kids did get along to some of them when they could travel with us. But in our leadership seminars in different countries, Indonesia in particular, and the Philippines, parts of India, we saw moves of the Holy Spirit that after a while you backed off feeling like, I'm not responsible for what's going on here, because it was way beyond anything we ever imagined would happen, where people were just jumping and leaping and praising God during the worship times. And, you know, just it was almost had to be miraculous they could get to such heights. Mm. And then when you pray for people, they just go down, bang, 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 bang. The whole delegation can disappear on you.
And John would pray and he'd go like that with his hands and everyone would fall in that direction on the floor.
You know, and these people encountered the Holy Spirit in those times. And as they would tell you afterwards, we'd say, what was going on? I had Des Short with me on one occasion and he was he had just preached. And then we were just saying, let's have a worship time and then we'll pray for people. And that's when, again, it happened. And Des, I remember just standing next to me, said, I've never seen anything like this in my life, you know. And it was just God bringing a healing and a restoration and a joy to people that, you know, some of them are just, it's hard yakka, it's hard work, and no one visits you, and they're part of a denomination that doesn't offer any infrastructure or support, and you can find how these people get lonely, and yet they're in areas that the gospel needs to be. And so this photo up here, we broke ice in Egypt. We were asked to go there, and it wasn't so much a great move of the Spirit amongst them, but our Egyptian director said he'd like Mary to speak. Well, women don't speak in front of men in church circles in Egypt. Anyway, she got her topic, worked it out, and I think this man wanted to buy her afterwards.
That was unexpected.
They come up in their simple English, you know, and I love your wife, you know. And I say, oh, so do I, you know. But it was just like they just saying, I really enjoyed what she had to say. You know, I really appreciated her ministry. And we broke the ceiling there, you know, in that sense, cautiously, but we did.
Well done. Mm. So Superman and Superwoman.
Yeah, yeah.
In the room. If someone is here this morning and thinking that God might be leading them towards mission, do you have anything you'd like to say to that person?
There's far more pathways to engage in missions today than when we started. It's like, you know, we started a literature program to pastors. Well, we don't need to do that anymore. There's the internet. People can access in their own language a lot of materials that would help them. And now today with pathways, there's pathways for short term, there's pathways for projects, there's pathways for like gap years, etc. So people today can learn languages, they can learn how to raise support, find partners, and that it's a lot less challenging. Well, it's always a challenge, but it's not overwhelming. And so today we've got a South African couple who are part of our executive team and were really great. They felt to step away from their pioneering churches and unreached people groups and putting together a internet studies to access how to reach unreached people groups. And they've started this website ministry called Diasku, and it's just helping so many of our people to know how to engage with unreached people groups.
Fantastic.
And with hands-on material. And you can study it at home. You know, so much preparation can be done before you leave now.
Cool.
And as well as short-term trips. So I still encourage people to go out. I didn't feel called to a country. We've never felt called to a country. Mm. We felt called to serve the body of Christ in missions, whatever that may look like. Mm. Some people think the whole world should be Filipino because that's all they can see. They love Filipinos, and that's fine. But some are got called to specific people, specific countries, or specific ministries. So like Good News team and their children's program, that can, you know, as we get them together and have these conferences and they cross-pollinate, the principles of those ministries could be transplanted in other nations or continents of the world. That's the whole idea of what mission should be about.
For sure.
Mm. So, so we're saying to people today, get on the website, check it out. There's lots of organizations today with good pathways to prepare. And I reckon that, people could possibly be on the field within 2 years or so if they do that preparation ahead of time.
Brilliant. Mm. Can I borrow that remote for a second? Because one of these pictures I wanted to talk about just very quickly. I love hearing your stories, but unfortunately time is getting away on us a little bit.
Oh, really? So we're just getting started.
I know. Wonderful, wonderful. We could be here for hours, I'm sure. There's goodness in your stories.
Well, has anyone got a question? They're itching to ask.
Now, this picture is the one that I wanted to ask about.
Oh, yeah.
The reason I put this picture on is, have you seen that?
Oh.
And do you know what that is?
Fridge magnet.
It's a fridge magnet, and it's that picture. And we had these made up as part of a missions profiling thing that we were doing at the time. But I don't know if we sent you guys any. But these are two that you can have.
We would have prayed for them if you had.
You can. Do you want them and you can put them on your fridge? You can be on your own fridge.
Oh, thank you so much.
There you go.
We've had a few of them over the
years. We don't recognize them, though. What's
every happened? Every invitation, no compulsion. So my final question for you guys today is... what are you doing now?
Mary? Appreciate it.
Well, we celebrated our 50th wedding anniversary last year. Good question. We are involved in a church in Tauranga. We're in the process of trying to hear from God whether we get more involved. They've started a new church plant sort of just out from where we live, so they asked us to help mentor the new leaders that are there, and we love that.
Nice.
I'm involved in Grief Share, which is a class for people who are going through grief. Mm. We also have our four grandchildren living not far from us who lost their dad last year. And it's been very timely that we've been there. And they're 21, 20, 18 and 16. And their dad was diagnosed with cancer in August last year. And they said maybe he had 3 months to live, and he was gone within 3 weeks.
Wow.
So that's been quite a challenge for our daughter and our grandchildren. So we're just so thankful the Lord had us there at that time.
Yeah.
So I guess a lot of the future will be just being there for them. Our eldest granddaughter, Micah, is... full-time youth leader at a church in Tauranga, and she's doing a wonderful work amongst sort of kids that are these kids that do ram raiding and that sort of thing. And it's just been marvelous seeing the Lord use her. She's got such a love for these kids, and she's always full of questions coming to us. And like, how did you get started? What did you do? How did you hear from God? And all those sort of things. Mm. So, you know, it's been great being there.
With World Outreach, the conference we had about 3 weeks ago, 3 or 4 weeks ago, there was a changing of the guard again. The chap who took my place, he made a 5-6 year commitment, which is exactly what's happened. And he felt to step aside. His heart is leadership seminars, so he'll stay with World Outreach and get engaged in that. And another couple that we introduced to World Outreach 20 years ago, they, you know, we visited their church and sat down with them and a bunch of other young people, talked missions, and they caught something. 2 years later, they're on the field, and here they are, 2023, now becoming the international directors of World Outreach. They have just blossomed and done so well, and they're in their same age I was when I took over, in early mid-40s. And so World Outreach is in good hands. And the conference we had recently, it's our first for 5 years because COVID sort of affected our previous plans. The goal is to just bring these people from all the different continents as best we can to sponsor them, bless them, put them in really nice accommodation with comfortable mattresses and great food, and put on praise and worship and bring some teaching in, and let them mix and mingle and again, cross-pollinate and catch up. And they absolutely love it. But one of the testimonies out of this conference we just had was, we've got quite a few serving in restricted nations where they are watched, and they know they've been watched, but they have to be careful. Like in Indochina area, some of them have to sit below the windowsill when they do their discipleship classes, because their homes, the buildings they're in, are right on a street, and people go by and they can look. So they sit up against the wall and people sit around the room. Others couldn't say that we haven't been able to lift our hands and worship God for 2 years now, 3 years. And here we are in Thailand, free, and we can praise God and worship. It's hard to appreciate what the challenges and difficulties a lot of people are serving under. And so our conferences, our summits, just a great way for people just to say, oh, God's still on the throne and he's doing great things, and I'm part of a great movement of what he's doing today. So everything serves its good its purposes. Praise Can God. I just say, as we're closing, are we closing? Yeah. We want to thank LifePoint for your partnership. It's just been phenomenal. You've been partnering with us since 1985. And every so often I have to fill out a form that says, where's your home church? And I say, Wellington. And I could be in any country of the world, and I say, cool, this is kind of like our sending church. And that's a spiritual thing. When your hands are laid on you and you are sent out, you know, you might live in a dozen countries, but there's one church that sent you out, just sending church. And so we appreciate the partnership of the church. Pastors have changed and all the rest of it. Missions directors have changed. But can I also say, this chap here on our left has been one of the best we've ever communicated with and get communication back from. There's hardly any gaps, you know. Something comes back within a while. If he doesn't have the answers, I'll get it to you. And so it's overseas, it's so good to know there are people in your corner. And if they don't know it, they'll let you know. If they can, give me some time. We'll make it happen. And so we just so appreciate this church and what it's done. We hope we can pop in from time to time. We're still engaged with World Outreach until the end of this year. We've just tried to continue to add value. And this younger couple taking over, they've asked for 6 to 12 months grace. Just say, we're not going to turn things upside down too soon. But they're having to find their feet. And we would like to continue to contribute and add value to them along the way, whatever that may look like.
And are you planning to continue to go to the annual conferences? And are they always in Chiang Mai in Thailand?
It seems to be the cheapest packages we can find.
And I know Roger and Cheng went this
year
and had a wonderful time.
So. Yeah, Cheng. Yeah. So, well, I think she's caught the virus.
Yeah. So yeah. If you've got an interest in going to future ones, talk to Roger and Cheng about how to get there.
Missions is still very much alive, and World Outreach is growing in numbers during COVID. Unbelievable. People have joined up. God's still calling.
Phenomenal.
And this is a sending church. This is a great church to go out from if the call of God is this. So go and have a picnic in Eastbourne and see if he talks to you.
Yeah, we love to send, and we hope in the years to come that we send many more people. But I doubt we'll send anyone who will serve as faithfully as you guys. So I hope they will. But I'd like to pray for you to end, and then we're going to be having morning tea. And my suggestion to you guys is, if a picture flashed up that you didn't get an explanation of and you've got questions for these guys, grab them and get them to share their stories, okay? I'm going to pray for you now.
Just to say that one, we weren't on that train, but... we've been on trains like that that are coming towards you. So I just thought, give you an idea what local transport's like.
Yeah, somewhere under there, there's a train. Yeah. If you're watching online at home, don't try that. Don't do that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you that as a church, we have had the privilege of being this wonderful couples sending church for these past 38 years, Lord. And Heavenly Father, we know that this whole earth is yours, Lord, and your children, you call them to go here and there and be about your business. And we know that for John and Mary, they had the joy of doing that and of seeing you and your Holy Spirit at work. All over the world, they had the joy of partnering with you in releasing people from the bondage of darkness and bringing them into your kingdom of light and of knowing your great love, setting them free. Lord, we're so grateful. As a church, we're grateful, and as this couple, they're grateful that you used them, Lord, in this way and bless them mightily. We pray for their family. Lord, we pray for their future. We pray for this church plant that they're involved with and the leaders there. We ask you to bless also the new leaders of World Outreach, the new director, that couple, Lord. Lord, we thank you for all of the work that's going on through World Outreach. Many nations around the world, Lord, prosper your children working in that ministry, Lord. Prosper and protect them and bless and increase tenfold, Lord, that ministry and bring all that you intend to bring into your kingdom, Lord. Do it, Lord. Raise up your mighty hand, Lord. Bring all these things to pass. In your precious name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, that's our time is at an end for today, but it's not really because we're having morning tea. And thank you again, friends, for making the time to come and visit us. Bless you.